This is The Guardian.
Today, how a child exploited by the drug gangs of London managed, finally, to escape. It's part two of a mini-series, so if you haven't listened to yesterday's, go back there first. It's presented by The Guardian's award-winning human rights journalist, Annie Kelly. And before we begin, just a warning, this episode includes descriptions of violence and reference to suicidal thoughts.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sosa Nkoma was 14 when he first came out of prison. He'd served 8 months for firearm possession. In his eyes, he'd been betrayed by the gang he'd grown up with, the only family he'd known since the age of eight. They promised to protect him, but sent him to prison to save themselves. And he came out angrier than ever before.
I went to prison, like when I was 14, then for them years, I was in severe war.
He'd been abused by his stepmother, exploited by gangs, and brutalised by violence. But Sosa's darkest days were still to come.
I felt like the age of 10 to 14, I was being eased into it. And then from the age of 16 to like 19, I was in full blown, like, oh my God, wow. Like, to the point I couldn't leave my house without a bulletproof vest, because I'm either getting shot at by my elders, or I'm being shot at by my enemies, or like literally some random person, which I probably robbed or something, don't like me, wanna come kill me.
Yet still, he managed to find his way out. From The Guardian, I'm Annie Kelly. Today in Focus, The Devil Walking on Earth, Part 2. Out of prison, Sosa was free again, but he wasn't safe. For one, his gang had violently split in two. After he'd served his time, Sosa and the younger members left the elders, but they couldn't leave the only life they knew.
In those years where you had kind of fallen out with the older kids that were basically running you when you were younger, who were you working for? Like, what?
At that moment of time, that's where this is crazy. I was being exploited by the whole of London. And that's the real truth. Like, I had people from West London hollering me, people from North London. Because from the age of 10 to 14, I done a lot of things for my elders. And for me, I never knew. I never thought that, oh, people knew about this, because I was told never speak about what you do, so I never spoke about it. But to the elders, they spoke to obviously their little groups and their little friendship groups. So when everyone knew that, oh, the younger lots of the block don't like the older lots of the block, it was like every single older from everywhere just started hollering us, like, oh, you lot don't like them, oh, we got guns for you, we're gonna give you guns, like, literally, so you lot are good. Well, you need a vest? I can get you that. We'll give you that. You need drugs? Whatever you need, we'll give you. So it's like, at that moment of time, I'm not going to lie, the whole of London was literally just giving me things for free. And for us lot, we were surviving. Every single one person I knew that was around me at that moment of time was surviving.
And they were all kids like you, same age.
We was all kids. I'm getting arrested. I'm getting everything. Getting let go. So I had police stopping my car, armed police. I'm in a car with a driver, and they will literally surround the whole car. It was just a whole cycle.
Yes, Sosa had seen a lot of violence already, but he was spiralling into something even darker now.
The same way where I've been ironed in my chest, the same way I know how it feels for someone else. That literally, I've seen it all. I've experienced it all. I've been shot twice. I've been shot on my elbow, shot on my knee. I've been ironed in my chest. I've been stabbed, ribs, shoulders.
Did you lose people? Did you lose friends to the violence?
Literally, I lost a lot of friends. I had friends and, oh yeah, that's my member. That's a member. That's a member. But these people are people that I was at. That's my brother, that's man's dog. Like, literally, they were my closest people. And one of them died in being chased by another gang. And then they basically hit his bike and he died from that accident. And then my other friend was killed in an argument. Literally between another gang and the gang that we was cool with. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And they were just kids as well.
Yeah. Especially in that whole, I'll say, battle with the olders and us, like, it was a factor, rah. Like, this is too much, I can't do it, like, literally. And I wanted to, it sounded mad, but I wanted to just, like, end it all. I wanted to end it all. I wanted other people to kill me, because I thought, you know what, then it's like a badge of honour.
But Sosa did soon find at least a reason to live, just days after his 18th birthday.
My oldest daughter was born by a C-section. The doctor was fine. He said to me, usually their partner don't want to see their partner again open up. But for me, it was like, I'm used to people all being open. I'm like, let me see my daughter. Let me see. I want to see now. And it was like, I remember having my daughter and I was put into the incubator, brought out, and I can have her now, clean, obviously no blood, now I can have her. And I'm looking at my daughter thinking to myself, rah, I don't want to leave my daughter. But if I don't leave my daughter, I'm leaving my team. I knew what had to be done, so I kept on going. But then at that moment in time, I was ready to sign out. And I kept on saying to the people around me, I'm ready to sign out, I'm ready to sign out, I'm ready to sign out. I don't want to be involved in this no more, but I don't know anything else. Like, I don't know how to not be involved in this.
But shortly after the birth of his daughter, he was sleeping at his girlfriend's house when suddenly there was a banging at the door.
4 o'clock in the morning, I was being raided by armed police because they got an intel, a phone call, okay, being told that I had a firearm in the household. And I was arrested, especially with the police. So to them, it was the fact of, rah, we got him. Literally. Yeah. The mother of your child is obviously, it's her household. We found a firearm in our household. So I had to plead guilty. When I went to prison, it was like, everyone already knew I'm bad. The amount of people that came to me, what, you man took over the block from your elders. You man done this, you man done that. And I was like, okay, like, right, okay, calm down. But then it's that, like, I didn't have to hold a persona. I didn't have to do any of that. I could just, I felt free. When I went to prison and I got into my cell, I thought, like, rah, like, there's no orders. Even though in that situation, you're probably thinking, oh, you know what? My enemies are probably in here too with me, da 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 da. For me, it was like, you know, I can manage that. I can manage that because I know, rah, they're not going to shoot me. I know, rah, really and truly, if they're going to stab me, they're not going to stab me with, like, a long knife. Like, they're going to probably stab me with, like, a screw or whatever. Like, I can deal with that. Like, literally, I've been stabbed more than 11 times. I can deal with a little screw. Like, what's that? I could manage this. And in managing it, I started taking all the opportunities. Do you know what I'm trying to say to you? I started taking every single opportunity that was there. And I started that learning about prison. Started learning, the best job is to work in the kitchen. So guess what? I went to go work in the kitchen. Like, literally, I started learning all these type of things. I'd done loads of courses. Like, obviously, I got into a couple of fights with enemies from the outside. But really and truly, I was all right with everyone. I realized I was actually, like, being accepted by people around me, just being not violent, not angry, not, bro, where you from? Not none of that stuff. Like, I started enjoying just being me. Like, just being happy.
Still, Sosa's newfound peace of mind couldn't last. Towards the end of his 2-year sentence, he was served with a deportation order. The Home Office wanted to send him back to Nigeria, the country he hadn't seen since he was six.
So one of the people that worked with the probation in prison, they found me a solicitor and they brought her to me because I kept on asking, yo, get me a solicitor. Yo, get me a solicitor, get me a solicitor. And they found me a solicitor, brought her to my wing, like brought her to me. And like, I spoke to her. So literally, we had normal conversations at first and she asked me about my immigration situations and asked me roughly, like, just touched on two things. And once, like, after a couple of times of having meetings, she came in and said to me, I want to hear your story from the start to the end. And I literally just told me your story from the start. I don't care if it takes us a couple of times, a couple of visits. I want to hear your story from the start to the end. So I told her my story from the very start, from being in Nigeria to how I got to be in the prison. She just cared. I feel like that's where it was. She was the first person to see me for actually just being an a child. Like, literally, everyone else, I believe, looked at me as dangerous, violent, all of these type of things. But she was the first person to, like, you know what? You're just a little kid. Like, how the hell did you get here? Like, literally. And that alone made me have faith in her. And then she got a psychologist to come after. Last time we got to do this. Tell this lady your story from the start to the end. Told the lady my story from the start to the end. And then the psychologist told my solicitor that I've been groomed.
Nearly 10 years after a 12-year-old Sosa had first told social services he was being targeted by gangs and was told he must be fantasizing, at last someone had listened. Because a lot had changed in the time in between. Police and social services had finally realized that hundreds of children were being trafficked into criminal exploitation by drug gangs across the UK. They'd been treated as criminals. Really, they were victims. As a result of that prison meeting, eventually Sosa himself was recognised as a victim of modern slavery.
Coming home, I was put into a safe house, but I was stuck in Manchester.
Yeah.
But in Manchester, I felt calm because I didn't really have enemies up there. I felt free, but not free because I had a tag on my foot. I felt free though, because I can go to the shop. I can do all those type of things that literally I couldn't do in prison. Then I was introduced by my probation officer to a trauma company called Dignified. I started working on my traumas. I started digging into my own life. And I used to think to myself that because there used to be called a devil walking on earth, I thought, you know what, I'm just a devil, innit? Like, literally, everyone's forever going to look at me as being evil and being all these type of things. But then when I started digging and looking into myself, I started realizing how much everything I've been through made me stronger as a person. I would say first in my recovery journey, I couldn't sleep because it was like, oh, that happened. And you need to apologize to this person. It's like, I felt guilt, like severe guilt, like literally like, oh, like, did that person deserve that? It was very confusing. But when violence has been your normal, it's hard for you not to resort back to violence. And that's something I had to learn to let go of, because I was always taught if you feel violated or you feel like someone's done the wrong thing towards you, like the only way they're going to listen to you is if you're violent. And then now is that I have to speak about things and I have to deal with things and I have to deal with emotions and all these type of things. Usually the only emotion that I understand and I'm able to deal with is anger. Like now, I have to deal with sadness, I have to deal with grief, I have to deal with, like, literally not
shame
feeling
well,
shame,
right?
Awkward, all these type of things. And that, like, oh, who do you blame for that? I blame myself. Like, a lot of self-blame, a lot of self-guilt, a lot of things that I have to deal with now.
You know, lots of studies have been done around leaving gangs or leaving that kind of structure as being like leaving a cult. Like, you've been kind of brainwashed,
yeah,
in a way.
And you have to basically destroy the old version of you to remake a new version. And for me, especially trying to destroy the old version of me, has been probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. I resort to violence straight away. So it's like when getting angry and feeling like everything's overwhelming, I can feel myself getting heated up. I can feel myself, my hands sweating, like I'm tapping my hands or my feet are tapping. I can feel the whole, like my whole body, and I can feel the whole trigger. And I'm like, cool, you know what? Which means because I'm aware of it, I'm able to now know how to, you know, calm, like literally deal with it and manage it in a better way. And that's, I'll say, the best thing that I was given in this whole recovery, like literally learning how to identify my triggers and manage my triggers.
Like, you'd lived your whole life outside of prison.
Yeah.
Feeling like you needed protection, feeling like you need the protection of a community that were going to have your back.
Yeah.
You didn't have that, obviously. Like, how did that feel? Did you feel like
I felt
the draw
isolated.
Back to needing that for yourself, or how
did
you?
I did, 100%. In that whole process, like, there was a lot of challenges, like, a lot of people, like, right, you're home now, like, da-da-da-da, time to get back active, time to be this person. Like,
trying to get you back into the life.
Literally, you need to basically be the person that you was before you went to prison, you feel me? And then a lot of people that was trying to get into my head of, raw, like, you think your enemies are going to care that you change, bro. They're still going to kill you. The reason why people didn't come after you before is because they knew how dangerous you was. Now, if they think you're weak, bro, anyone's, you're food for everyone. You know what I'm trying to say? And for me, it even made me more, I've said, I went into more of a survival mode then too, because it was like, raw, I needed to be safe. I needed to be hyper-vigilant. I need to be alert of everything that's going on around me. So I was like that a lot.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
After Sosa was recognised as a victim of modern slavery, his deportation order was revoked and he was given leave to remain, to live in the UK.
When I got my stay, it was a fact of I wanted to change, especially 100% the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
I fought 100% the criminal justice system, but also, like I said, when I was told I was a survivor, I said, this whole wing must be exploited.
So now he travels up and down the country, not delivering guns and drugs, but training sessions to police, teachers, social workers and lawyers. Anyone who can make a difference to other kids like him. He's also a mentor to young people in his neighbourhood. He calls himself a lived experience consultant and insists that everything he went through has made him into the person he is today. And so, no matter who he's talking to, he's in his comfy clothes and wears his silver grills on his teeth.
I wear my grills when I go to Parliament or when I deliver training. I like to encourage other young people that, raw, you're going to be accepted however you look, whatever you speak. I'm going to say it to you.
And it seems to be working. He's really busy and more recognised. At one award ceremony last year, he was named Crime Fighter of the Year.
Go back to these young people and I told them, bro, like, don't sell drugs. Like, right now I'm building a lived experience company. Like, work with me. If you work with me, we can build this together and we can challenge these people. You don't like the way the police talk to you. You don't like the way the police treat you. Bro, you can tell that to them. You can tell that to them in the right way so that don't happen to other people and other people don't feel like you. Like, literally, that's what I do.
You know, there's a lot, isn't there, in the media, the way that politicians speak about young people, about knife crime, about county lines. What is it that needs to change in the way that we think about young people that are engaged in criminality, who are out there, who are in gangs, who are risking their lives?
I would say the public stopped looking at young people as kids and started looking at them as adults. At the end of the day, You need to look at that child as a child. Instead of be curious and explore, why is that child carrying a knife? I'm not saying every single young person is being exploited. But I am saying, if a child is actively involved in a gang culture and is committing crimes at a very young age, bro, we should be curious about that. We should look at the root of that problem. But when really and truly, we should be sitting down and actually, yo, how did you get here? Like, what happened? Like, literally, and how can we make sure you don't get back here? Like, I'm going to say to you, like, genuine conversation. Not once has someone sit down in prison and asked me that. Like, how did you get into prison?
Did you feel the pull back to going back to that life before?
1,000%. Like, literally, constantly, I felt the pull. Like, constantly, even to this day on, I probably say I feel pulls. Like, literally, I still get told, oh, right, like, literally, fam, if da-da-da-da-da sees you, da-da-da-da-da. I still get spoken about to this day, like, literally.
So do you feel unsafe now?
I always feel unsafe. At the end of the day, people think because you leave a gang, it's like, oh, you're safe. And, like, you know what? You can just leave it and you can just walk away from it and all of that. That's something I've got to say. You can never walk away from that danger. I'm doing what I'm doing now and I'm happy to do what I'm doing now. But I also know in the back of my mind that no matter what, there are going to be people out there, if they do see me, they are willing to risk everything to kill me. So, and it's something I have to accept.
It's going to sound really weird, but is there anything that you miss about your old life?
That's good that you say that too. I've always felt like I had a hole in my chest where, because I didn't have parents, like, I feel like I'm always alone in this world. And being around so many boys and, like, so many people, it slightly made me not feel alone. Like, literally, like, even though we all had different circumstances, but really and truly, like, we was going through the same thing that was present. So for me now, it's that. It's that I miss having that brotherhood. But then I also understand that, raw, that brotherhood is like, was never like actual brotherhood. It was just a fact of like, raw, you know what? They wanted to make money.
It's not an easy journey he's on. Sosa lives alone, although he sees his two daughters all the time. And it's his time with his kids that brings him the most joy. And that 8-year-old he told me about, the young Sosa who once loved to dance before life in the gangs, well, he's getting a second chance again.
Growing up, I needed to feel loved and I needed family. But having kids is like, I have my family, like, I have my own family, and no matter what, no one can take that away from me. I play around with my daughters, I literally, you know, put the music on before going to bed, get them excited and tell them, nah, you need to go to bed. Literally, I get them mad excited and I tell them, nah, you need to go to bed now. Like, literally, but I dance with my kids.
Thank you so much. What a story.
This is my oldest calling me.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. No way. Addison, I'm currently in an interview. Look.
You in another one?
I'm in an interview, yeah.
Dad?
Yeah.
And that's it for today. My thanks again to Sosa Hancoma and Causeway, the charity he works with, which supports survivors of modern slavery. I'm Annie Kelly. The Devil Walking on Earth was produced by Sammy Kent. Sound design was by Rudy Zagadlo. The executive producer was Elizabeth Casson.
This is The Guardian.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.